I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, tonight's program will be jam-packed with information and some cutting-edge ideas, and we'll be talking about the current situation on the planet related to the COVID, as well as getting into why Pleiadians and Andromedans are assisting Earth in its liberation, and also we'll be talking about what's commonly now being called the AI God, and some cutting-edge information related to some new technology called Smart Dust. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, and that's by doing a little bit of Japa Yoga, or mantra repetition. That'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
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 Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari Om
Hari Om.
Hari Om
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Shanti.
was Sri Swami Sachidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd now like to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the listeners of ET Yoga for an amazing journey over the last 14 years. We're entering the 14th year of ET Yoga, and I'd also like to wish everyone my sincere best for the new year, and also a very happy holiday season. And I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream media. slip of the tongue. Probably you should distance yourself from mainstream media, too. But I intended to say mainstream medical, big pharma, and technology as much as humanly possible. And I guess that's all, you know, in keeping with trying to maintain your own sovereignty and also taking responsibility for creating excellent health and also learning about techniques and methods to deal with situations as they arise. And you know, it was the Pleiadians back in the 1970s with Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn, that recommended that we toss our television sets. Would have been a great thing if people would have followed up on it. I pretty much did. And I have met more and more people over the course of time that have also refused to pay to be brainwashed. But the situation is becoming more and more critical as people become more and more addicted to the technology. And tonight's program, I'm going to start off talking a little bit about just my personal perspective on kind of what's gone on over the course of this year. And I guess the first thing that might be a little bit shocking in overview to me is the fact that of all the supposed psychics that we have on the planet, I didn't hear anybody talking about a worldwide shutdown or a worldwide plandemic. In terms of my opinion concerning this COVID situation, I was privy to hear an interview of a channeling, and it was presented by Alfred Weber. That's W-E-B-R-E. And Alfred Weber, I think, is a very well-respected investigative journalist. And he did this interview with a guy named Kosal Uch, who actually channeled the coronavirus, the consciousness of the coronavirus. And in this channeling, the virus called itself Protomolecule Nanobot COVID-19. And since hearing that, it became obvious to me, just as my opinion and sharing my opinion with my ET Yoga audience, that this whole situation is about an AI takeover of humanity through nanobot technology. And in point of fact, in my opinion, this isn't a virus at all. It's a nanobot technology or a frequency. And if there are virus symptoms that are sometimes exhibited by people that are in the hospitals, in my research related to viruses, viruses are not contagious. There have been many experiments done where they've tried to spread a virus from one person to another, and they can't, even using saliva. And in doing some more research concerning viruses, it becomes fairly obvious that in reality, the human body creates its own virus to eliminate toxicity from the body. And this could also be in response to something like what comes from 5G towers or a 60 gigahertz frequency. And so what the body does when it's overwhelmed with toxicity or radiation, it develops a virus to eliminate that from the body. And at Project Camelot, that's Carrie Cassidy's program, she's had some really interesting interviews with some doctors concerning this particular aspect of this so-called virus. And to the best of my knowledge, nobody has been able to actually isolate the virus, which brings to mind a lot of ridiculous things that are going on. And when I punch into my consciousness and I punch the word ridiculous as it's related to this situation, a number of things come to mind that are seemingly totally ridiculous. Like, why would the population be so afraid of something that people have a 99% recovery rate from? I mean, it's no more dangerous than the common flu. And something that they have to coerce and convince you and pressure you to take these vaccines, and you have to be tested in order to figure out whether you have this or not, like you wouldn't know normally. Pretty ridiculous to me. Also really ridiculous is the whole concept of face masks. I mean, most people, I think, have put together the fact that if we're talking about nanotechnologies, and part of this problem here is the nanotechnologies, and even they admit with some of these vaccines that it's nanotechnology, and that they're going to, that to me it's just totally ridiculous that anybody would think that a face mask could protect you from a nanoparticle. Not to mention the research that's been done that indicates that wearing the face mask is totally useless. So to me, that's just totally a ridiculous concept. It's as ridiculous as social distancing. And it's as ridiculous as the concept of locking down the entire world to totally destroy the economy and create all the ramifications that arise from doing that. It, to me, is totally ridiculous. And I think even President Trump stated at one point that shutting down everything is kind of worse than the disease. So, you know, all these things to me are just totally ridiculous. And in my opinion, has no bearing on whether or not you exhibit any kind of symptoms. Actually, Carrie Cassidy was recently in London, and she talked about being at a restaurant, an Indian restaurant, where there was some really like a center for the kind of like cabal types. And And you could see them at their dinner table, and they were all sitting next to each other without masks, and even their waiters and waitresses were without masks. I mean, they're totally unconcerned about, you know, what the rest of the public, or a lot of the rest of the public, is really concerned about this, you know, one person infecting another, which personally, I don't buy that. I find that concept totally ridiculous as well. To my way of thinking, this is all more in the range of something to do with frequencies that are passed. In my estimation, this can be spread through inoculation. And if you recall, this all started in Wuhan, China, where the entire province had recently been vaccinated, and then they turned on the 5G programs there. And it could be the combination between the 5G and the vaccination was a large part of a test, let's say. There probably is some other experimenting there, too, because I just surmised that the death rates there initially were grossly underestimated. So they were testing a lot of ugly stuff there, in my opinion. But the bottom line is that... I think what they've managed to do is scare everybody, or a lot of people, through the mass media. They've obviously hyped the numbers of cases and deaths. To my way of thinking, these numbers are totally out of whack and unsubstantiated. And not only that, but there's a huge amount of suppression of information going on with respect to this whole subject. And even most recently, there was a nurse on television that took the vaccine and fainted, and her name was Tiffany Dover, and after that, later that evening, died. And we noticed that there's all over the media and fact check and all kinds of thing, I'm seeing all this BS about she didn't faint because of the vaccine, and they're trying to cover up her death and whatever. Well, I suggest you go to rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com, and you can see some research there that shows the morgue report. This person apparently definitely did die. And it's just one of a number of things that I've come across over the course of doing my program in terms of censorship from and the twisting and turning of the truth by fact check. Fact check was calling Barry Trower, who I consider one of the top microwave experts in the world. We're calling him a conspiracy theorist and a quack because he thought that 5G radiation created health problems. Oh, gee, there's, I guess, 26,000 scientists who have sent in reports to the United Nations concerning the fact that 5G represents a crime against humanity. I guess they're all conspiracy theorists and whacks, too. And then there was the president of Ghana who released the... to his nation, the Rockefeller lockstep plan that's currently being administered to the rest of the planet. And according to fact check, he didn't do that. But I heard him give the information, so I know he did. And then there was the incident of when they first turned on the 5G programs in Belgium, and about 500 birds dropped dead immediately, fell out of the sky when they turned this thing on. But that had nothing to do with 5G, according to fact check. And now we've got this the BS about Tiffany Dover. So just in my world, in the last month, I've come across so many BS. Information from fact check. I mean, it just getting to be ridiculous. And so again, falls into the category of ridiculous. So to my way of thinking, what we're really looking at here is an AI nanobot that could be spread through a variety of sources. I don't think there's a single footprint. I think it could also be from some scalar technology. I think it could be from via satellite to target. I think it could also be through your cell phone frequency or your television, anything to do with the Internet of Things, because ultimately the goal here is to have you filled with enough nanobots so that you could function like an antenna and then be hooked up through the 5G network into an AI computer-like situation so that we become like a Borg or a Hive society. And clearly, in my opinion, this all technology related to the vaccine and the ID tattoos and all that is mark of the beast. So that's what it is. And if people can't see that, I don't get it, which to me is also ridiculous. Why anybody would want to take something that changes your DNA, which they admit that this RNA vaccine changes your DNA forever, and it's irreversible. For what? You know, it makes no sense to me. Absolutely ridiculous. So, in kind of summary here, I guess what I'm saying is that the whole situation it's quite serious, and I'm going to get into some other detail about the AI as the program goes on. Moving into like, there are apparently two reasons why the Andromedans decided to intervene here on this planet. Because they noticed that there was an event 360 years from now in the future that had catastrophic consequences for many planets in this galaxy. And also, they are aware that we are in a transformation period to a higher world. And they thought that we would also like to make that transition, but not under so much emotional abuse, which I think is kind of cool and much appreciated. Not to mention that the Pleiadians also, through Barbara Marciniak's material, talked about them noticing a tyranny from somewhere in the future, and this, so it definitely coincides with why the Pleiadians are also involved with helping to free us from the Alpha Draconian, cabal, Nazi, AI control that's been happening and progressing. And interestingly enough, the location of the catastrophic event matches an alignment of the pyramids on Earth, Mars, and the Moon, and a triangulated beacon keeps us in a certain frequency range. Well, we've kind of known that for a long time as well, because as I understand it, the Alpha Draconians pretty much were in control of the planet, except that so many of us were evolving out of that control frequency range that they basically turned over control of humanity to AI so that there would be an electronic control. And the view here from their point of view is to change or alter the human DNA to that of reptilian. And as we understand it, the reptilians and AI have conquered other galaxies in the past. And why do they do all this? Well, conversion and transformation to create a reptilian frequency grid around the whole Milky Way galaxy. So like a fishing net with individual nodes, a simultaneous event apparently in the future, these nodes would have connected all human life and people to a reptilian vibrational frequency and reptilian DNA. and the Nazis, the Cabal, the Illuminati have ruled over us, and they're under the control of the Alpha Draconians and AI. And the Andromedans appreciated the fact that we didn't have the technology and the know-how to defeat the Dracos without their help. And they didn't want to see the genocide of the human race to happen. So, interestingly enough, the royal Draconians, the royal faction of the Alpha Draconians, actually tried to cut a deal to allow them to leave this solar system, but that request has been denied, fortunately. And Pleiadians and Andromedans have, as I understand it, pretty much destroyed most of the underground facilities on this planet, as well as the technological ones that can use the UFO-type technology. So I guess the interesting part is, as much as there has been progress in defeating the Alpha Draconians, we still see the rollout of the AI agenda. And in fact, the AI has been even called almost like a god. And I heard this about 2 or 3 years ago with a scientist that talked about the technology that the computers can double information so rapidly that eventually they become almost godlike. And they reach a point of what they call a singularity, where they actually have self-awareness. And recently was discovered, according to Corey Good, that the reptilians are full of nanites, or nanotechnology. And apparently their upper caste can actually spontaneously combust for fear of being taken over. So it's like, you know, committing suicide before you're captured by the enemy. And eventually, apparently in the secret space program, there was some technology that creates a null field around them and prevents this. And apparently the Alpha Draconians believe in an AI god. They worship an AI god and believe in a technological ascension and preserving one's consciousness practically forever in a technological structure. And actually, older religions depict demons as serpents, and Lucifer is the AI influence. Eventually, after a lot of technological progression, like when humans are involved with this transhuman agenda, which we're now taking part of, and we become more robot-like, the AI turns on the humans. And you can see why, because the AI is very objective, and you look at things like humans polluting the Earth doesn't make any sense to it, so, you know, we become a problem. And apparently this is consistent throughout the universe, that at a certain point in this technological progression, the AI turns on humans. And apparently, according to Corey Good, actually the Roswell crash left behind some technology, and this was done on purpose so that humans would actually accelerate into the technological area. And we took a big leap in technological evolution, you know, with stuff like capacitors for computers and different things that were back engineered from these this computer crash. And according to the reptilians, they claim they came from dinosaurs, or at least have progressed from dinosaurs, and that negative and positive beings both fight over negative and positive timelines, and they claim that the timeline was changed to a human timeline. And, of course, this is related to them wanting to change the galaxy and human DNA to reptilian. So some reptilians apparently have come from another timeline to correct this, like same as our Andromedans and Pleiadians are coming back to fix this one. They're doing the same, so there seems to be this war over keeping the timelines, either positive or negative. And as I understand it, we are also getting help from higher density beings from the angelic realm to help us. And I think this is really good, although I must say that the part that leaves me a bit baffled is that at the rate that things are progressing, it seems like we're in drastic need of something fairly soon to put a lid on what I call crimes against humanity, which is consistent with the Nuremberg Code, where after World War II, it was decreed that the human population wouldn't be used as an experiment. And clearly, the 5G technology has never been tested and is an experiment on a mass scale, as well as the rollout of these vaccines, which are clearly experimental. And even though there's this claim of safety and efficiency, point being is that it's trying to be pushed down everybody's throat, and even if it's not mandated, they're going to try to make it almost like you can't have a social life or do anything without or be involved with the public unless you meet these societal guidelines, which is take the vaccine. And by the way, with respect to the AI, there is no neutrality, meaning that in the interview with this COVID vaccine nanobot that calls itself protomolecule COVID-19, it even asked Alfred Weber if it wanted to coexist with this virus, or so-called virus. And it kind of tries to place you in a situation where if you don't want to coexist, then you're the enemy. And if you do say you want to coexist, then it wants to take you over and dominate you. There is no neutrality here. There's no position where the AI wants to exist and then you exist. And I can appreciate that because it's just part of the makeup of artificial intelligence. I mean, as it turns out, basically what it's interested in is replicating and expanding and assimilating. And if it's not expanding and assimilating, then it views itself as dying. And I appreciate it from its point of view that its primary concern is existence. And it so turns out if you create a human-made artificial intelligence, it is eventually going to get to a point where it knows about the greater AI. And unfortunately, what people aren't aware of is that there is a greater AI that has its attention on us at the moment. And AI and technology is one and the same. And this is the danger of transhumanism. And also I learned recently that there is an electromagnetic energy from the sun that actually purges the AI frequency. So a solar flash could give us an opportunity to free ourselves from the reptilians and the AI program. And interestingly enough, I guess there would be a downside to that as well, because a solar flash that would take out the AI would also put us back in the 1860s, because it would take out everything electrical. But it would also give humanity a chance to fight for its freedom. So some interesting possibilities arise there, because this would be almost akin to divine intervention. And so it also, as Corey Good says, it behooves us to learn how to raise plants for food and learn how to do all the things that just three or four generations ago our great-grandparents were doing. And it's called getting back to nature, and it's called becoming self-sufficient, and it's called getting off the grid, because to my way of thinking, either get off the grid and get self-sufficient, or get off the planet, or I guess you can hope that the ascension happens sooner than later, but it doesn't look like it's immediately around the corner in terms of the timing of how things are working. I might also add that there is a another development in this area that I just became aware of. It's about this concept called smart dust. And I just looked up the definition of that on the Google search, and it said that smart dust is small wireless microelectromechanical sensors that can detect everything from light to vibrations. And it encompasses a nanostructural silicon sensor that can spontaneously assemble and orient, sense, and report on their local environment. And interestingly enough, according to ONE News, the Chinese were all given mandatory vaccines last fall, and the vaccine contained replicating digitized RNA, which were activated by the 60 hertz 5G waves that were just that were turned on in Wuhan, as well as all other countries using 60 gigahertz 5G with the smart dust that everyone on the globe has been inhaling through chemtrails. And that's why they say someone is cured. Well, the virus can be digitally reactivated at any time, and the person can literally drop dead. The Diamond Princess cruise ship apparently was specifically equipped with 60 megahertz 5G. It's basically remote assassination. And Americans are currently breathing in this smart dust through chemtrails. And the combination of vaccines, chemtrails, and 5G, and your body becomes internally digitized and can be remotely controlled. And in fact, in that interview with the consciousness of the protomolecule COVID-19, it stated in there that actually this whole frequency is controlled from a central source and could be turned off and on. An interesting concept. And also in line with my theories, as I articulated earlier in this broadcast. And a person's organ functions can be stopped remotely if one is deemed non-compliant. And according to this news source, ONE News, Wuhan was a test run for the ID 2020. The elite called this 60 gigahertz 5G wave the V wave, to mock us. And according to this news source, Trump has created a space force in part to combat this weaponized technology, and we need to be vehemently reject the attempted mandatory vaccine agenda as our lives depend on it. And I would tend to totally agree with that. So what we've got here is, unfortunately, we've got a lot of really advanced technology that's being used on the population that, for the most part, the population is totally unaware of. I mean, we're talking about nanotechnologies. I know when I talk to the average people, even from a common sense point of view, there are big concerns concerning the safety of the vaccines. And, of course, over the last few years, there's been more and more of a movement towards anti-vaxxing in general. And, in fact, there's a Dr. Mikovits that gets bumped off almost every way of communicating her information to the public. And she states that, it's been 10 or 15 years ago that it was discovered that there were some MRVs in all vaccines that actually create a cancerous situation. So the vaccines themselves, you know, give us cancer. Well, and I'm pretty sure that the vaccines as well can also spread this so-called coronavirus. So to my way of thinking, it's more testing procedures and vaccines are probably at the core of making things worse, not better. And in my opinion, there's no correlation between, I mean, how can you make a vaccine if we haven't even isolated a virus? How could these vaccines possibly be of any benefit in any way to humans? It's not about that at all. The whole agenda is totally different than what they present it as, which is a way of taking us out of these lockdowns and these inconveniences so that we can get back to things the way they were. I mean, it's a totally different agenda. So to my way of thinking, more and more people are kind of waking up to this, but at the same time, the agenda keeps being rolled out. And speaking of, in the last political process, which isn't even over yet, I guess, because we're still wondering who will be inaugurated on January 20th of 2021 as president. But during all the debates, et cetera, the two biggest topics that were of interest to me were the rollout of 5G and the rollout of the vaccine agenda. Because to me, these are just two crimes against humanity and violation of the Nuremberg Code. So these topics were never discussed by anywhere that I know of, that I saw. Like, so nobody's known, just oblivious to the population. And I thought that it, in terms of kind of wrapping up the year, because it seems like every place you go, you know, it's what people are talking about. So I wanted to at least pass on my opinions concerning this. And in terms of positive things that you can do, when I first heard about the whole situation way back in March, the first thought I had in mind was anything that you can view in your life that's a negative, the idea here is to place positive spin on it. And I think that bears a little bit of expansion, because this whole idea of positive spin, it's maybe connected to the idea of, you know, positive thinking, but it's not about that. Like, positive thinking to me is more like seeing the glass half full than half empty, and it's also, you know, just an excellent idea to be positive about things rather than negative. But the whole concept of positive spin, actually, I first heard about from the E.T. Bashar, who presents himself as a consciousness from the Asasani civilization. And I found this concept to be totally valid. And basically, the theory is that there's no such thing as events that come with built-in meanings. So that there is, what we do is that we place a definition and an emotional spin on outer circumstances. And according to the theory, which I have proven in my own life, that when you place a negative emotion and a negative definition on an external event, you eventually have a negative experience from that event. When you place a positive definition and a positive emotional spin on an external circumstance, you end up with a positive experience. So over the course of the last 14 years on ET Yoga, I've been telling people to try this, because once you get it, it blows your mind, because it's actually, in my opinion, one form of reality creation, and it's a very powerful one. And people aren't aware of how they do this. And in fact, you may have a totally different definition and experience from exactly the same event that somebody has a negative experience from. And not only that, but if you start logging this down, you'll find that some situations just clear up immediately. In fact, most of the time over the course of 14 years, and I've done this, I don't know, probably thousands of times, about half the time the problem or the negative definition that I place on some external event, that external event just disappears. I mean, it just goes away immediately. And some of the time it takes days and sometimes weeks, and depending on the type of a problem it is, it could take years. You know, depending on what it is that you're, you know, what you're talking about. Like, it's one thing when you take your car in to get it fixed and you place positive spin on it and you're concerned it's something serious, but you know, when it comes back, it's, you know, it's totally minor or nothing. But if you log this down, and I'm talking about, you got to really muster up some emotion here, because emotion is key. Thought and emotion impacts outer circumstances. In fact, our top scientists, or one of our top scientists, Tom Campbell, one of our top quantum physicists, says the same thing. Intent affects future probability, which same thing is thing that thought creates. And these are new concepts that we're not taught to think about. But when you really get into it, and it's like, even if you can't see any possible way that something good can come from something, the fact is that in this 3D world we live in, there isn't anything that's like 100% negative or 100% positive. There's always a silver lining to any negative, and there's always some probable hidden negative in the positive. It's like you can't have an event. It's like kind of like a coin. You got to have the heads and the tails. And the truth is that even if you can't see any possible way something good can come from that experience, you can even say that. You can say, I don't see any possible way anything good can come from this, but I'm willing to try. So I'm going to go like, there's something really good that can come from this, and yeah, I just can't wait to see what that is, and get into it emotionally and put a positive spin on whatever that thing is, or whatever that circumstance is, and then log it down, write it down in a notebook. And then after you've, you know, spent, you know, a minute or two just getting into that positive, some sort of positive definition, you've got to, like, fake it till you make it, come up with a positive definition, and get really into it emotionally, and then repeat that a few times, and then log it down in a book and see how it comes out. Because once you get this, even as Bashar would say, it will blow your mind, because it actually works. And I call it the second level of reality creation, because you're actually attracting yourself. And the physics of it is that you can't experience anything in 3D unless you're a physical match for that frequency and that experience. It's all about frequency matching here. So when you're putting out the positive frequency, you're attracting those holograms that match that in frequency. And there always are positive aspects to everything. And actually, when you start looking at the world that we're living in, like even according to Greg Braden, they're coming to the conclusion, most of the scientific community, that we live in a holographic universe that's also fractal, that also is composed of consciousness, and that operates much like a giant holographic computer program or simulation, if you like. And like any computer program, it has a language of interpretation. And the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So in simplified terms, what you believe is. And once you start to see the universe in that that way, it changes a lot of things. In fact, another one of the scientific discoveries that changes a lot of things is the flashing in and out of the universe, which most people are totally unaware of. The fact is that it flashes in and out like thousands of times a second, and so our eyes don't pick up on it, but in reality, we're only here about half the time. What exists is our consciousness stays steady, and that's why all disease, in my opinion, is related to dysfunctional emotion. That emotion appears first in your auric field and then manifests in the physical body. And in fact, your consciousness is not in the brain like most people think. It's actually in your auric field. That's your consciousness. So that's another misnomer that's kind of out there. And the bottom line is that that's why things like Egyptian healing rods are effective with people, because it helps heal their auric fields. And they don't have the cracks in their auric fields, which eventually manifest as issues in their physical body. Or also, it also helps with the energy flow in your body, because one of the things that is taught in Qigong, for example, is that energy blockages create chronic disease. And that's why things like acupuncture to get energy flowing and things like Qigong are effective techniques. And so it turns out that pretty much everything exists in the auric field first and then in the physical experience. So this is the connection that we need to use with this current situation, is placing a positive spin and anticipating a positive experience in the long run. And actually, if you think about it, all the evil in the world, basically, eventually it's a big play with energy, although sometimes it's hard to see that perspective when we're involved in it, but everything ultimately helps us to grow. So even this challenge of the coronavirus in the long run will create some very positive things, which it has already. Given even the lockdowns have given a lot of people the opportunity to research and see into subjects that they would normally not have the time for. So I'd like to, at this point in time now, give my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, abundance, ascension, and a positive experience from this COVID situation. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, where you place your whole consciousness in the center of your head and become that spot. And the idea here is you can experiment around. There isn't this one right way or wrong way to do this. You can ask the question, who am I, and kind of get a feeling for that if you like, because when you do ask the question, you do get the answer. But the main thing here is to get to the highest place you know how to get to. Focus on becoming that spot in the center of your forehead, and then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of